Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast, coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Later in this show, we will be joined by Rhode Island head coach Dan Hurley. Wants you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes, and also check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And today's show is brought to you by Harry's. For far too long, you've either paid too much for a comfortable shave, or you've settled for a low price but low quality razor. Harry's offers something you've never had before: a great shave at a fair price. Good shave, good price. It's simple. Get the best of both with Harry's. Harry's starter set is a great option. For just $15, you get a razor handle, moisturizing shave cream, and three of Harry's five-blade German-engineered razors. Plus, there's a special offer for fans of the show. Harry's will give you $5 off your first purchase with promo code HOOPS. Go to harrys.com right now and look for the Truman Scent. That's H-A-R-R-Y-S.com. Enter code HOOPS at checkout to get $5 off and help support the show. Stop compromising. Give Harry's a try today. Now that we've got you set up for Harry's and all your shaving needs, you know, one thing that I always enjoyed doing during the preseason of college basketball, and we are now just a couple of weeks away from the start of practice kicking off here on October the 1st or September 30th, however way you slice it. And I really think that one thing that I'm always looking to do each and every year for as long as I've covered the sport is try to identify teams that are outside the top six conferences, the Power Five and the Big East, that could be a team that cracks the top 25, that could be a team that might be off the radar now, but won't be in March when everybody is getting ready for the NCAA tournament. And as I have looked through roster after roster, conference after conference, program after program, I firmly believe that Rhode Island has the requisites to be one of those teams. And a lot of people may not have Rhode Island on the tip of their tongue if they're a college basketball junkie because of what happened last year. And really what happened last year for Rhode Island was a watered-down version of Murphy's Law, because it felt like whatever could go wrong did go wrong for the Rams of Rhode Island, who were expected to be an NCAA tournament team last year after making the NIT 2 years ago. In the first game of the season last year against American, E.C. Matthews, the top NBA prospect on Rhode Island, went down with an ACL tear. Then Hassan Martin, a player who had first-team All-Atlantic 10 capabilities, had nagging injuries throughout the season and was eventually lost for the year with a season-ending injury. Dan Hurley did a tremendous job last year at Rhode Island, led the Rams to a wire-to-wire victory at Dayton in addition to 17 wins with a depleted roster. And he went against the grain in a lot of ways when he opted to stay in Kingston, Rhode Island, versus take a Big Ten job that he was offered last spring in Rutgers. Why did Dan Hurley stay at Rhode Island? We will answer that question when we talk to him coming up next, as well as the difficulties of scheduling when you're at a program outside a Power Six conference. Dan Hurley, the head coach of Rhode Island, coming up next. This is the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. The Atlantic 10 has obviously separated itself as a conference outside the Power 5 over the last couple of years, and one of the teams that will be in bold print this year out of that league is Rhode Island, and the Rams head coach Dan Hurley joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. Dan, you are about to enter your fifth year at Rhode Island. Is that a little hard to believe?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's, well, they say time flies when you're having fun. You know, the it's a great place. It's been exciting putting something hopefully great together here, and really excited to get the season underway.
You are a Jersey guy, born and bred. Other than the access to the great seafood that we have off the Rhode Island beaches, what's changed aside from that living in New England over the past couple of years?
Well, you know what? It's really great situation. For me and my family, it's close enough to Jersey. We could still touch, touch the family and friends and, all the great people that we've gotten to know in our lives. So it's close enough to stay in touch with those folks. And I think the mentality here in New England is real similar kind of to the New York, metropolitan area, that you get kind of a little bit of that, same edge, same attitude that you get from a metropolitan area guy.
Well, it's interesting that you brought that up because your name was obviously linked to the metropolitan area in March when you were mentioned as the favorite for the Rutgers job and you opted to stay in your current post as head coach at Rhode Island. Why make that decision and pass up the opportunity to be the head coach of a school that's in the Big Ten in your home state?
I mean, it was obviously, you've got, as a college basketball coach, you've got to make a lot of decisions, over the course of your career. And, for me, it wasn't anything about, what another situation, didn't represent. It was about the opportunities here, the amazing roster of kids and culture and talent that I get to coach here. It's the commitment, that the school's made, to improve things every year and, put us in a position to, be a potential top 20, top 25 level program. They've made that commitment every year to us. I feel like we're really on the verge of, accomplishing, something special.
No, you're definitely on the verge, and a lot of people, including myself, thought you were on the verge a year ago, and we'll get to everything that happened last season in a minute, but you also did something right now that's become more common in college basketball. I'm sure when you were playing at Seton Hall and you were growing up in the game, you didn't see people who were head coaches in the Atlantic 10 pass up opportunities like the one you did last spring. What's changed about college basketball? What's made it more intriguing to maybe build a power at a smaller school?
I think that you, obviously, you're looking to be in a situation, in your conference as a college coach where you're in a program that's going to put you in a position, to compete at the top of the conference. I mean, you'd like a job as a head coach where you're at a university that, has the things at its disposal, where you could be at the top of the conference, and it's sustainable, year after year, whether it's your facilities, the financial commitment, is it the type of place that you can continue to attract recruiting classes that will keep you at the top of the conference? And, all those things are in place here, and then there's the personal, the personal side to it. I think for a lot of coaches is, you get attached, to players, you get attached to kids like E.C. Matthews and Hassan Martin, who made a commitment to come to school here, when we didn't have a whole lot going, but kind of a dream to pitch them on. Those kids passed up maybe, bigger and, sexier named schools to come here a couple of years ago, and it's hard for coaches to walk away from kids that make a commitment to you, the way those guys did with me.
Rhode Island head coach Dan Hurley joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Rhode Island along with Dayton, co-favorites in the Atlantic 10 this season. You mentioned E.C. Matthews, and he's somebody who verbally pledged to you before you had ever coached a game as head coach of Rhode Island. Last year, I think everybody had the same feeling surrounding your program that there is now, that you're going to make the NCAA tournament, you're going to break a long drought. And then in your first game, E.C. Matthews goes down with a torn ACL. Take us inside that night and as a head coach. You go from beginning what you think is going to be your best season in basketball, and then 2.5 hours later, it's really swallowed away from you.
Yeah, that was that's just as tough a situation, I think, as I've had to encounter, just in basketball. It had nothing to do with obviously with the season. At the time, you're not calculating those things. You're thinking about the kid. You're thinking about his family. You're thinking about him and his career, and how close he was at that time. To following the exact script that we had talked about when we recruited him. The third year, breaking through, getting to the NCAA tournament. you know, him establishing himself as a first round pick, at the end of that junior year, and having this really beautiful thing all come to, you know, fruition, and it evaporates, on opening night, before the third media, and it was just dark, emotional. It took our program and team, such a long time to get over it. Not just because of the greatness of EC, but because of just who he stands for every day in terms of our culture and, just what he represented to our program, just kind of, just as who he is as a leader. It just was, it was debilitating for us. It took us a while to recover.
Now, he goes down opening night. Your best defensive player, Hassan Martin, dealt with nagging injuries all year. He eventually was sidelined for the year with a season-ending injury, and you had other guys banged up throughout the year. Did it feel like Murphy's Law was hitting you after everything kept coming down, one thing after another?
Yeah, I think early on there was, a little bit of, going on Ken Palm and seeing where our luck quotient was, for like a little bit, where we were. I think we were, we were discouraged. I mean, it was just the multitude of things that were, happening on top of each other. It didn't seem fair. But I think that what we were able to do was develop some tremendous resolve from it. I think that it's going to serve for us as it has in the off season, served as incredible motivation for us to not take anything for granted, to come out. In every workout from when our season ended and as we got healthier, to really use that as a motivational factor, something that drives every day, every way and everything we do, whether it's the weight room or on the floor. You're going to see a really, really committed program this year that won't take a possession or a dribble of the ball for granted.
Well, and you also bring back a large nucleus of players. I mean, if you were healthy last year, you would return five starters from your team that played during the 15-16 season. Out of all those players, which returning player do you think will make the biggest jump during the upcoming year?
Yeah, I think it's just an amazing kind of like convergence of events in a way that, EC goes out and Hassan, plays hurt pretty much 80% of the year. And now that gives Jarvis Garrett and Jared Terrell a chance to, to really, take over and, to be returning, Hassan and EC to full strength and now have them joining up with as juniors. Jared Terrell, who averaged 15 a game in conference, shot almost 45% from the field, and Jarvis, who averaged, over 14 a game and shot 52% from three in conference. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where we had to suffer last year and go through like a continued year of growing pains, which we didn't expect. But now to have those two guys have to carry the load last year and gain this great experience and growth from it, and now to have their two partners back, it really forms a real formidable core four for us.
So of the returning guys, who makes the biggest jump this season?
I tried not to answer that.
I know you did, but like we're in the business now trying to create compelling content.
Yeah, you know what? I think Jarvis is really, really taken off. Just his confidence level, the way he played it, last year, especially with what he had to deal with, with the facial fracture against St. Joe's, that game, and then playing with that mask for a majority of the conference season and playing at the level that he played at, the efficiency, the production, just the growth and maturity and the fact that he looks so much better right now than he did last year, it's he's probably, the guy right now that stands out the most that way.
Rhode Island head coach Dan Hurley joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Rhode Island and Dayton will be 1-2 interchangeable at the top of the Atlantic 10 during the upcoming season. You know, Dan, everybody knows that you were a high school coach at St. Benedict's Prep before you took the Wagner head coaching job, and you've had some pretty special rosters when you were a high school coach. You had Samardo Samuels, you had Tristan Thompson all on the same team. I'm curious, though, when you look at the experience and the talent level that you have returning and all the talent that you've added on top of what you have coming back, where does this roster this season stack up among the best that you've had as a head coach?
Yeah, I mean, this is by far, you know, John, the best roster I've had in the, you know, in the college game. You know, I mean, you know, at St. Benedict's, you know, one year we had, you know, I had Tristan Thompson playing the three for me, you know, with Samardo Samuels at the four and Gregory Echenique at the five. So that was a, you know, Mike Caban with the point. That was a pretty powerful team. You know, but this is by far the best one I've had in college. You know, the, you know, just because we, you know, we've got so much production, you know, in our first six, and they're all juniors and seniors, you know, and I think that's what has got us so excited about the season is, you know, our first six are older players that have produced at a high clip, you know, and they're very talented. You know, and then, you know, you add in the depth of, the Andre Berries and you know, the two sophomores and that played significant minutes for us last year, and, you know, Christian Thompson and Nicola Kelly, and in our freshman class, I mean, we've got an exciting freshman class as we probably had here, because, you know, three of them are post players, 6'8", 6'9", and bigger, you know, that have tremendous potential, and then a guard in Jeff Doughton, who we feel like by the end of his career, you know, has got a chance to be one of the best guards in the conference, and you know, so it's just this talent up and down our roster. You know, we've got older players, we return a lot of production. You know, we just want to stay healthy and can't wait to get started.
Well, Dan, let's look big picture right now for a second. Your first 2 years in the Atlantic 10, this conference had a 16-game league schedule, and the league combined during those 2 years to get 11 teams into the NCAA tournament. There was then a shift to an 18-game league schedule, and the last 2 years, the league has a combined six teams in the NCAA tournament, three bids apiece each of the last 2 years. How does this league get more representation annually in the field of 68?
Yeah, obviously, you know, John, the conference you know, it's one of the better basketball conferences, you know, in the country. I mean, I think we all know what it is. You know, we've got to do, we got to do a great job in the non-conference. You know, we've obviously got to, got to get, significant wins, overall the conference. You know, we've got to, however we're set up in terms of, the league standings, I think from top to bottom. You know, we've got to try to, perform obviously to our potential. You know, our top teams in the conference, have got to crush it, in the non-league, and, the middle to bottom of the tier, of the league has got to win kind of the games that you have to win, to put your conference in the position going into league play. I think we understand that as a league, and we're preparing accordingly for the non-conference.
Now, scheduling has gotten to become, I think, maybe the second most important aspect of any program after recruiting, but it's increasingly more important if you're outside one of the top six conferences in the country, the Power Five and the Big East, because you're not going to get as many opportunities in conference play to bolster your standing. As you think about all this stuff, how much more of an emphasis have you put on scheduling, and what does it say to you when you see a program like San Diego State last year win 25 games, have a neutral court win over Cal on its resume, and not get an at-large bid in a year when Louisville and SMU weren't eligible for the field, and Syracuse gets an at-large bid with a 9-9 record in the ACC? As somebody in a non-Power 5 or top 6 league, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I think that we just try to really focus on kind of the science, the science of, I guess, the selection committee, the science of, the computer numbers. You study it and you try to balance your non-conference and schedule the best you can to try to, get you know, as many top 100, top 50 RPI games, you know, as you can get without, you know, compromising, you know, your yourself in terms of, you know, playing too difficult of a schedule. You know, you try to have that balance, you know, and that's what we tried to do, you know, is get ourselves, you know, as many top 100 games, you know, as we could get in the non-conference that would fit comfortably. You know, and we also have, I think, a lot of confidence in the Atlantic 10. I think the A-10 is going to be, you know, a lot better, especially at the top, and a lot deeper that way than folks think. And you know, so we feel like we're going to get great chances in league this year. We feel like we're going to get great chances in the non-conference to put ourselves in position to get the bid. You know, but we feel like we've got enough quality, you know, in our organization here in terms of our players, in terms of our staff, in terms of what we could accomplish this year, that, you know, we're just focused on running our race right here and just trying to get better every day. And if we play up to our potential this year, you know, we feel like we'll be in good position.
Rhode Island head coach Dan Hurley joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. The Rams will be one of the favorites or co-favorites this year in the Atlantic 10. You know, Dan, you told me a couple of years ago that your internal hard drive was wired tightly enough that you didn't need any external things to come into your world to put more pressure on yourself that you already do on an everyday basis. I'm curious, though, now that you're finally at the point where you've built the program, you went through the tough season last year, how does the internal pressure that you put on yourself compare to the external pressure that you're getting to get Rhode Island to the NCAA tournament for the first time in 18 years?
You know, I think I just handle things, you know, just a lot different, you know, with myself now. You know, I feel like I've got maybe better mechanisms in place just to keep things in perspective, you know, whether that's, you know, extending the, you know, the network of coaches that I talk to, the network of mentors, the folks that I seek advice from. You know, it's a pressurized enough job, you know, that if you allow it to, you know, to break you down, you know, it's gonna create anxiety and stress in a profession that's already, you know, super intense. So, you know, for me, it's finding, you know, folks like the, you know, the Billy Donovans, the, you know, the Fran Fraschellas, you know, the Matt Dohertys, you know, also having folks in, you know, in the professions, you know, like my brother, you know, like a Billy Kennedy, you know, people, you know, in my network, you know, that I could talk to and give me perspective and balance, you know, so that I'm able to, you know, continue to be, you know, an intense coach that gets the most out of his players, but also, you know, maybe a more poised leader for these guys this year.
What's the biggest thing you know about coaching at a school in the Atlantic 10 now that you didn't know when you got hired when you were the head coach at Wagner?
The underrated conference in terms of the coaches. You know, it's a great coaches league. You know, it's not, you know, they're great recruiters, but they're also great. Great basketball minds, you know, many different types of styles of play, but great basketball coaches, and the games, you know, the conference games are, you know, as intense as the ones I played at, many, many years ago in the Big East. You know, the chip on the shoulder that Atlantic 10 games played at. You know, that chip, that intensity, that possession by possession mentality, man, it really hit me that first year.
Final thing for me. We know about your history and, you know, where you came from. You know, your father is a Hall of Famer. Your brother is the coach of Arizona State, was a great point guard at Duke, and you all have a deep connection throughout basketball. You know, we've seen and I've done and I've been fortunate to do, you know, a long interview with all three of you. But how determined are you right now? Not that you're obviously ever going to forget where you came from, but are you to write a new chapter and start a new legacy with what you have at Rhode Island?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you know, it's something I thought about in the off season. You know, obviously when you're, you know, considering where you are, it's, you know, it's just an incredibly exciting, you know, feeling here, you know, that we have. I think it's the, you know, we've got a chance to be ranked, I'd imagine, in the, you know, preseason top 20, top 25, which, you know, which has only happened. I think this will be the third time in school history, you know, that we've been in that position here, you know. So, I mean, that's a source of great pride. You know, obviously you want to be in the one at the end of the season. You know, but the fact that we've been, you know, kind of the architects and together we've been able to put together, you know, something this time of year. It's only the third time in school history you have a chance to accomplish something amazing here this year with an incredible group of people, incredibly talented group of people. You know, it's an incredible blessing to be in this position. And the season can't start soon enough for us right now. I think that's our mentality. You know, we feel so good about where we're at that we just can't wait to get started.
Dan, appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are. Look forward to covering your team moving forward. Stay healthy, and I'll catch up with you on the road.
All right, my man. Later.
We'd like to thank Rhode Island head coach Dan Hurley for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Also, want you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast via iTunes. And also, check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like. Give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Time now for the social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast. Send me your questions on Twitter. That's at John Rothstein, John, J-O-N. The first question comes from Sean Sullivan, and he says, John, who's going to win the Atlantic 10? Sean, I got to tell you, I think Rhode Island, and we just heard Dan Hurley talk about it, has an excellent chance to win the Atlantic 10, but you have to look at Dayton's core and experienced core as being the team to beat because of all the success they have had the past couple of years under Archie Miller. And here's a nugget for fans of the sport. Scoochie Smith, Kyle Davis, Charles Cook, and Kendall Pollard, four players on Dayton's roster, will all be 22 years old when conference play begins in the Atlantic 10. Our next question comes from Big Blue Theory, and it's, John, will Northwestern make the NCAA tournament this year? I think Northwestern has an all-conference guard in Bryant McIntosh. I think Chris Collins has exceeded expectations. I just don't know if there is enough pop and enough firepower on the perimeter with the loss of Trey Demps for Northwestern to make the NCAA tournament. The Wildcats need a lot of pop out of Scotty Lindsey, and they need a strong and healthy Vic Law. Final question will be from Derek, and it's the way too early prediction. John, who is Pac-12 Player of the Year? I think it's Ivan Rabb. I know Dylan Brooks from Oregon has been sensational, but the Ducks have more of a supporting cast this year, which is going to be a little bit of a Rubik's Cube for Dana Altman to figure out. I think Ivan Rabb from Cal, a player who only averaged 7.7 shots a game as a freshman, will be the focal point for the Bears. He will be the Pac-12 Player of the Year. Now it's time for some news and notes from around the world of college basketball. Some big recruiting news on Sunday. Nick Weatherspoon commits to Mississippi State. It was down between the Bulldogs and NC State. I reported that a couple of weeks ago here on the College Hoops Today podcast. What does this mean for Mississippi State? It means that Mississippi State, in year three under Ben Hallen, the 17-18 season, will look like a legitimate challenger to Kentucky in the SEC. The Bulldogs too deep at every position. The interesting thing to keep an eye on right now, how does Ben Howland decide to play with this talented perimeter that should be as deep as any perimeter in college basketball? Does he accelerate the pace? Does he press more? These are all things that people are going to be thinking about in Starkville, because Nick Weatherspoon will join a perimeter nucleus that includes his brother Quindari Weatherspoon and also incoming freshman this year, Lamar Peters, Tyson Carter, and Eli Wright. Another thing from our notes that have been acquired over the past week, I've heard some rumblings from the people I've been talking to out west that Lauri Markkanen, the talented freshman for Arizona, will be used this year in a Frank Kaminsky type role at 6'11". Lauri Markkanen, again, not a lot of people know him as well as some of the other freshmen on Arizona's team, like Rolly Hawkins or Kobe Simmons, but this guy's a 6'11 skilled forward that could give Arizona the option to go skilled and play with a stretch five if they play a little bit smaller power forward and try to get guys like Ray Smith, the redshirt freshman, on the floor. Now, I'm going to bring an update right now for from the road. Went to St. John's last week to watch workouts. And one thing that I don't think can be disputed about the Red Storm, their team, their program right now is loaded with high major players. Now, how is that going to translate in the Big East? That's still to be determined. I don't know if St. John's is going to be able to handle close games on the road. I don't know what their situation is going to be like in terms of overall consistency. But the hardest part of rebuilding any program is acquiring talent, and St. John's has done that. I think St. John's should be a 500 team this year, which if they go 16-16 would double their win total. And then I think next year they have a chance to be a top 25 caliber team with the additions of two transfers, Justin Simon from Arizona, Marvin Clark from Michigan State, and a top 50 recruit in 7-1 big man Zach Brown. We'd like to thank Rhode Island head coach Dan Hurley for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. More tales from the road next week when we return. We will be back, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.